Open your King James Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14 for study number 151 today, please. This 15-minute audio study Bible commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 151-The Grace. Now our text verse is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again today. We ask that you might touch our hearts. Help us to uplift and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ because he's been uplifted and picked us up out of the mire of sin and shame. Now, I pray, God, today that you'd open our understanding of the Word of God. Give us the Holy Ghost, God, to speak as we wish we had when we stand at the judgment bar of God. I pray, Lord, you'd use us today in a mighty way to touch the hearts and lives of men and women around the world. God, to reach them with all the Word of God that we possibly can. We'll give you the praise, the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this 15-minute audio Bible study commentary will be study number 151 on the first chapter of 1 Timothy, and it will be on verse number 14. We will title this lesson today, The Grace, which is the second and third words of the verse number 14. This will be the second study on this verse 14, which only contains one statement, but many instructions unto the Christian life. Now, our last study, we talked about the first word of verse 14, which is the word and for a little bit. Now, we will turn to the word the in this verse for a bit. The word the is a definite article that puts the emphasis on a particular thing or subject. In this case, it is grace. Paul is identifying for you and me the grace of our Lord in this verse. Actually, there is no grace outside of the Lord. He and he alone is grace. The phrase, the grace, is mentioned 46 times in the Scriptures. It is mentioned one time in the Old Testament and 45 times in the New Testament. Basically, the word grace is a New Testament word. God is a God of grace, and he has and is grace in the Old Testament, but we do not see the full meaning of grace until we see it in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, grace was prophesied and promised, and in the New Testament, grace is purchased. After Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, as was promised by God the Father, we have grace abundant to all mankind. A very interesting scripture verse on this subject is found in John chapter 1 in verse number 17. The Bible said, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Another verse that explains this even more is found in John 1:14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Many have asked me how the Old Testament people were saved. Some have thought that the Old Testament saints were saved by works since they offered sacrifices and labored to do what God had asked them to do. Let me say, as I try to answer this question, that no one has ever been saved by works. According to the Word of God, we're not and never can be saved by works, as is seen in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, salvation is by faith in the shed blood of Christ, by his grace and through his shed blood only, as we're told in Hebrews 9:22. The Bible said, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." The Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints were and are saved by the same way and the same method. Salvation is by grace and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and it's the same in the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament saints were saved by looking forward to the cross. Even though they did not know the details, They had the promise of the Messiah to come. This is faith in the promise of redemption God had given them. The New Testament saints are saved by looking back to the cross that has already taken place and putting their faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. This is a mystery to many, and if it is still a mystery to you, then ask God to forgive you of your sin, and by faith just believe on Him, and the mystery will no longer be a mystery. You will obtain the redemption of God up front and first hand. Thank God for that. Paul has let us know that it was not the grace of a king. It was not the grace of his parents. It was not the grace of a church. It was not the grace of the prophets. But it was the grace of our Lord that had changed him from being a persecutor, from being a blasphemer, and from being an injurious person into a saved, born again child of God. This grace had not only saved and transformed his soul, but it made a preacher of this grace to all men. And he recognized the head of the fountain of this grace. It was the Lord. Paul was a strong preacher of the grace of God through the Lord. This grace had changed Paul's thinking, and he no longer thought like he used to think. His mind had been changed, and now he had the mind of Christ. He thought differently about sin, and now he despised sin as God despises sin. He no longer allowed sin to reign in his mortal body. He now allowed the Spirit of God to control his life and his thinking. He no longer thought on things of the world and what it had to offer him. Matter of fact, it had nothing to offer him. Paul now had the mind of Christ by the grace of God as he preached and taught that we also should have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, he said, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Hallelujah. He also mentioned it again in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 when he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now the grace of our Lord also changed the way Paul walked, the way Paul talked, and the way Paul lived. He was no longer what he used to be, but is now a born-again child of God. He has not been reformed, but he has been transformed by the grace of God. Let us look at these two words for just a moment. Many have been reformed today and claim that as salvation. The word reform means to be rehabilitated, to be improved, to be remodeled, to be renewed, or to be reorganized. Many have just been rehabbed, improved, or remodeled. The grace of God had done more to the apostle than remodel him. He was not remodeled or rehabbed. He was changed. He was not a renovated man. He was a born-again man by the grace of the Lord. He did not just turn over a new leaf in his life. He was changed. If he had been remodeled or reformed, he would have been just a blasphemer that looked better and maybe sounded better. But on the inside, he would have still been the same old sinner doing the same old things he had always done. Now, many like these words of being rehabilitated. They like them. They send the drunkard to the programs of rehabilitation and demand that they spend so much time there and then give them a certificate that they've finished the program. They are then turned back into society to end up doing the same things they've been doing, and that is being a drunkard. The only way to change a drunkard or any other sinner is to bring him to Christ and let the Lord save him by His grace. The grace of the Lord will not just reform him. It will transform him. Preachers, Christians, and churches have fallen into this business of rehabilitating and turned to counseling people to try to get them to change their habits. The only way to change a drunk is to get him to drinking from the heavenly fountain of living water. This is the water that Jesus gave the woman at the well in John chapter number 4 and verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it was, or who it is, that saith unto thee, or saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The word transform means to alter, to convert, to change, or to make over. It's a step further than being reformed. Man likes to think that he can change himself or change someone else. The fact is, he can change neither. Many programs have been introduced to men and have been tried and tried in order to make the lives of men better. Much money and time have been spent on many who have finished these programs and then gone back to the same sins they have been used to doing for years. Their head has been changed about sin, and their habits have been forced on them. Their habits and morals changed for a while, but they have gone back to these sins simply because their heart has not been changed. They have just been reformed instead of being transformed. Reformation changes the outside and not the inside. Transformation changes the heart from the inside, and therefore it changes the outside. I say, hallelujah, glory to God, praise His name. Paul did not get a head knowledge or a head reformation, but he received a heart transformation. His heart was replaced spiritually speaking from above. So he began living by the higher power of God above. We find reference to this in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. God said to Ezekiel the prophet long ago, he said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." Paul received a spiritual heart transplant, so to speak, from the God above, or the great physician, as we like to call him. And it turned his world around for the glory of God. He was not just patched up, he was made over. Hallelujah. Down through the years, I've seen many who have made professions of faith, as many call them. Many of these never seem to live holy or godly. They will declare very strongly that they have been saved, but biblical things seem not to matter to them at all. They live loose lives and are not controlled by the Word of God or controlled by the Spirit of God. Their morals are loose and they have a worldly lifestyle. They're not concerned about the things of God, nor are they serious-minded about the church. They go year after year without any spiritual growth whatsoever. If anything, they just cling to the world more and more each passing day. These will talk big about God when they're around Christians and church people, and they will talk out of the other side of their mouth when they're around the lost and around worldly men and women. On the other hand, I've seen those who have been transformed like Paul, who have left no doubt as to their genuine salvation. They demonstrate a complete change. It will be seen in every facet of their lives. There will be no doubt as to whether they are saved or not. I have pastored many for years and wondered over 90% of the time if they had a real experience with the Lord or not. I preached the funerals of many who I wondered if they were in heaven or not even, saved at all while they were living here, even though they told me they were. They had nothing to show for it. Then I want to say this. I preached funerals of those who I have had no doubt of their salvation and was not, told by them when they was living. They just showed me by their daily lives. Paul was such a man as this. He demonstrated every day the characteristics of a born-again, saved, redeemed child of God. Now, all of us bring reproach upon the Lord at some point in time in our lives. We will look in the wrong direction. We'll be influenced by unholy friendships. We'll have physical problems that cause us to look away. We will suffer some tragedy or maybe something of that sort, or just get slack and look in a different direction. These times we are a bad testimony to the grace of God. The Holy Spirit will convict us of this, though, and we will be strengthened and confess up, look up, and keep going for God. But to live like this on a daily basis for years and years is a good indication that you've never been to Calvary and you've never had a head-on collision with the grace of God. Thank God for the grace that we've experienced from above. Let us keep on keeping on as long as we have the health and strength to do so. May we constantly lift and exalt the Lord Jesus in and through our daily lives as we live every passing day. Many of our testimonies, or may they be testimonies that are such that our lives would draw the unbelievers to us and give them a desire to have what we are experiencing through the grace of God. Thank God for His grace. Not the grace of the world, or of potentates, or of other people, but the grace of God. The only grace, the grace of God. We trust that this study, number 151, the grace, has helped you. God bless you. Amen and amen.